If you need a branch, just raise your hand. And then you'll be given one when the time comes, okay? Can you see all the hands that are up? Hold them up there, kind of keep them up somehow. The ones that raise their hands want a palm branch. Welcome back, Ron and June. I wave my palm branch to you, or at you. Keep your hands up if you want a palm branch. There's one over here. Dennis needs one over here. We got Bob needs one. Norma over here. Are they all gone? Okay, put your hands down. The branches are all gone. What's that? Am I? I can. I don't remember what I did last year. I can. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, praise band. In Harbor of Joy. You know, those of you that still have your palm branches, you get to keep those. Make sure you take them home with you. Don't leave them in the pew or somewhere in the church. You just take them home with you. But if you really want to get, you want to put them someplace, just put them in the big vase up here. Yeah. Okay. It's just good to see the church is fuller because some of you have returned back from the winter that we had up here to the southern states where you went to play golf and drink coffee and eat cookies. We're glad that you're back. Good to have you here today. Do have a couple of announcements. One is that Al Holman is back at home. He got back yesterday. So he's there. So welcome back, Al. I don't even know if you're watching by Zoom, but in case you are, I'm sure Sharon is glad you're back, but maybe Daisy is more happy than even Sharon is. That's a little puppy dog that they have there. Yes, Nancy.
Today is Sharon's birthday.
And it's, well, happy birthday, Sharon. Those of you that want to, you can stand up and turn around and look at the camera. We're going to sing happy birthday to Sharon. She doesn't want to look at the back of your heads, but now I get to look at the back of your heads. So I get to see Sharon what you get to see all the time. Okay, let's sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sharon. Happy birthday to you. All right, thank you so much. See, Tom, what you missed last week? You didn't miss anything. You just look a year older than what you did. There is some other announcements that are here. I do want you to know that there was an annual business meeting out at the Ingham Okoboji Bible Camp yesterday, and they were changing some wording in the Constitution, and it was going to be anyone who is like a member of a Lutheran church is kind of what they're changing rather than the ELCA. That's kind of was kind of hanging things up there a little bit. And so they took a vote. It was 51-0 to change it, but it has to be voted on again in August, and there has to be a two-thirds majority vote to go along with the change. So keep that in mind. We'll give you ample time to be thinking about that or let you know when that will happen. Well, there can be three people from the church here that can vote. It'd be two delegates and then myself as the pastor. There's three votes there, and we were all there. We had enough there yesterday. So I just wanted you to know that that's kind of what happened yesterday. It was a great report, which reminds me today is the last day to get your reports in for our congregational business meeting that's happening the end of this month on a Sunday. So it's 2 weeks from today. The booklets will be available next Sunday. And you can pick them up anytime after that if you get a chance, if you want to. But I look at, you know, what you read, those reports that you read will really give you a good flavor as far as what Harbor of Joy is doing and what Harbor of Joy is all about. There's no better publication that comes out or thing to read about what is this church all about? What's going on here? You'll be surprised what we're all involved with. So get a booklet. And if we run out, we can make more. So we just want you to be aware of that announcement as well. I'm not sure, are the kids going to be dismissed today when I start preaching? Amy, where are you? Must be where all the kids are too. I don't know. There has to be two adults that sign up for a Sunday. And so, I mean, it's going to be... April is going to be the last time we'll do this, and then the council will evaluate how we're doing with that. But the chances are of us having a Sunday school or starting a Sunday school is going to be very difficult because you have to have adults who want to teach and who can be here. And, you know, if you can't be here, you got to find yourself a replacement. And it's not going to be an easy thing to do. But we are looking in that direction just to let you know that. But I also realize that a lot of you are retired and you're tired of doing church things. But some of you, it doesn't matter what your age is. If you'd like to teach and want to teach some kids, that is something that you just need to communicate with myself or with Amy, our church secretary, and we can kind of go from there. But as far as I know, today we don't have anybody, do we?
I'll take them back.
Oh, you'll take them back. So there will be kids released. Okay. So I just said a lot of nothing. So, all right. This week, we will, right following the service today, there will be choir practice. Anyone can be a part of the choir. You can sing one song. Next Sunday is what?
Easter.
So the choir is going to sing one song. You're practicing that. You have been practicing it, but you can still be a part of it. Be right up here this Sunday after church for that practice, and after that you can go back and have coffee and cookies. And I see today that there is some meat and crackers and cheese.
Serenity, did you hear that?
All right. So hang around if you can. There's also fruit out there too, like grapes and strawberries as well, if you can't eat those other luscious things. On Tuesday will be our last time that we have grief share. There is prayer partners that meet at 11:30. Got grief share that meets at 12:30 to 1 o'clock. 12:30 to 2 o'clock, I believe, it is. And it'll be the last time for that group to be meeting together. And then we'll close that down until probably August or September. Hopefully, it'll be in August that we'll start another grief share group. And we're finding that it's the reason I believe it's important to have is because we have a lot of widows and widowers in Harbor of Joy. And I'm finding that there's not very many from Harbor of Joy who go to this class, but we're getting more people from the outside that are coming and watching a video and talking about the loss that they are dealing with and grieving over. And some of them, it's been for many, many years that they have never really dealt with grief. And so it's just not for everybody, but I just want you to know that it's available for you. And it's just a way of just getting to know other people or listening to their stories as well and to hear what they're going through. And you might be able to say, well, I've been through that, but this is how I got through it. And that might be very helpful for someone else to hear that from you. So keep that in mind. Wednesday there is just the after school ministry to the kids that come here. It's about 25 kids or so that have been coming for Joy Kids and Joy Us. And then Thursday, we do have our Monday Thursday service at 6 o'clock. There's no meal before. Just come for Monday Thursday at 6. You can eat before you come. We're going to have communion that night. And Good Friday is the following day. And so we'll have a Good Friday service at 6 o'clock. And I know some of you don't like the slamming of the book that's happened over the years. So I just thought, we're not going to slam the book. Just so you know that ahead of time, so you can kind of go like, okay, I'll come. We will not slam the book at the end. But we will ask that you'll be leaving quietly when the service is over with. And it'll seem weird, but it's meant to be weird. So just leave until you get outside, and then you can talk outside if you want. You can stay in a pew here if you need just time to be alone and just be in the quietness. That's fine, too. We're just going to turn off all the lights. You can sit here, but, we're on daylight savings time now, so it's always still light before we're done anyway. But keep that in mind for Good Friday. It's kind of a bummer of a sermon even to give, but there's still a lot of hope that comes to us on Sunday, on Easter Sunday next week. Keep that in mind as well. We are following Jesus to the cross and just seeing some of the aspects of what happened to him, what he went through. And remember, he did it voluntarily. We would run from any of this, but he did it because he loves us and cares about us. And it's the only way it could be done for us to have eternal life and our sins to be forgiven. So, if you want to be a part of that, that's coming this week. Also, heard from things about Jim Craninger. He is put in a home in Sioux Falls. It's called Encompass. Is that what it's called? Yeah, Encompass Hospital Rehab Hospital type of thing. So he's there, from what I gather from his sister, He is doing well, and yet there's some paralysis on his left side because he's had a stroke. And so I just wanted you to know that that's where he's at. They were looking about probably coming back here to be in Akira, either in Milford or in Spirit Lake, but they looked around and they found that Sioux Falls was probably the best place to put him for right now. So that is a little update on Jim. And for you ladies, there's a ladies' luncheon this Wednesday. If you haven't signed up, there is a clipboard on the table in the fellowship room. It's on a yellow sheet. You can't miss it.
Next Wednesday.
Oh, is it next Wednesday? Forget I even said anything about that. But if you want to go, you can still sign up today, but that is next Wednesday, not this Wednesday, the following week. Okay, following week. You see things on the back of your bulletin here as well, the flyer. And we are going to have a confirmation class the first Sunday in May. You see the names of who they are. And be praying for these kids. I gave three of them a ride home last Thursday. Or was it no, last Wednesday, I gave three of them a ride home. And the last one I let off, I said, you know, I'm really going to be sad on that Sunday. And this person said, why? And I said, because I'm not going to see you again. I said, usually what happens when you get confirmed, you never see you in church. But then again, I don't see him anyway. But you don't have that little connection with them, with confirmation anymore. And so I just kind of go, it's going to be a tough Sunday just because of that. And also just with the spring cleanup, it doesn't have to be on a planned day. If you have time and would like to come over and do something, if you don't know what to do out around the outside of the church, let me know and I'll help you. It's just cleaning up kind of the dead growth and make sure the new stuff is coming up. And hopefully we'll not have a big freeze. But just to spruce things up before. It'd be nice to do it before Easter. But I know I'm pushing it to do that. But it's just whenever it can. It can be done during the week. It can be this week. It can be the following. No, it can't be the following week because I won't be here. But it'd just be nice to have it done before Confirmation Sunday as well, just for people that will come to want to see their relative or their son or daughter be confirmed as well. So, and then also for you Lunch a Bunch people, it's coming in May. Just so you know that. We're going to do the book of Philemon. And you put your finger on Titus. And if you see Hebrews, you went too far. It's just one little book in between Titus and Hebrews. Philemon, that's where you find it. Great book. Great book. So with that, I'm just going to pray. And then I'll do the call to worship. And then I'll sit down and the band can take over. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for seeing all the faces that are here today. Thank you for the good news that Al is home from Akira at Hilltop. Thank you that he can be at home because there's no place like home. Thank you that Sharon, it could be the best birthday gift she could ever have is just to have Alan back home and be with the family as I'm sure they're going to celebrate or do something special today for Sharon. Lord, we are grateful for your presence here in this place today. And we're thankful that you go with us no matter where we go, even after the service is over. You are still with us. And you can do that. You know, we have a hard time. We can only be in one place at one time. And sometimes we think of, I'd love to be doing this and going there. But we only can do one thing at a time and be at one place at a time. So we come to you today and giving you thanks that you continue to be with Jim Kredinger and the family as he recovers, as he gets his therapy. And it's not a fun thing. It's not an easy thing to go through, especially when you've been so active in life and driving and all those things, where that's all of a sudden that's taken away from you. And it's a whole different lifestyle. And so I just pray that when we think of him, that we pray for him. If we want to send him a card, We know kind of where to send it. And if we don't know, we can just always call Pat Garrels and she'll tell us. Or hopefully she will. And it's just important to receive cards. And so thank you for your love and your heavenly touch that can touch every heart that's here today. And we pray for that, that that happens through the music, through what is preached. Just to be together is great. And well, we thank you for those that have come back from down south who are here today. Even though they're kind of like back home, we know our real home is in heaven with you. And there are some who are there rejoicing with you that have no idea probably what's going on here. But it's okay. They're in a much better place. And we look forward to the time when you call us softly and tenderly to be in that direction and to be with you as well. Which reminds me of Millie Anderson, Vicki Anderson's mother-in-law, who passed away this past Thursday. Be with the family as they make arrangements and for all that is being planned in their lives. And to be with Vicki, Lord, she's usually here doing the Zoom, and I don't see her today, but you know what's going on in her heart and her life as well. Give her what only you can give and pick her up. And may she continue to be blessed because she spent a lot of time with Millie and taking her here and there and spending time in her room as well. We just thank you for all that we know about and all that we don't know about, but we want to come and know you and draw closer to you today through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, call to worship. It says this, comes from Psalm 31. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my tears by groaning. My strength fails because of my guilt. And my bones grow weak. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. If I had the palm branch, I would wave it saying, you are my God.
Turn back the praise. the darkest corners in Rome, still I will say, blessed be your name, O Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Responsive reading. It was a sight to behold. A man riding a donkey among the young and the old.
Red carpet was clothes and clothes, with shouts of joy that tickled their toes.
Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, was their cry. There was no yelling of crucify and die.
Waving palm branches as Jesus came riding on the road, there were shouts with smiles on their faces, and no one wanted to trade places.
Jesus rode on a donkey, just as the prophet Zacharias said he would.
The people wanted a king to set them free from Rome. They didn't see a prancing stallion. Victorious, conquering king. Instead, Jesus rode an animal of peace and wore no bling.
You can't judge a book by its cover, and neither can you judge a man riding on a donkey.
Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Messiah and our Savior today and for life.
Underneath the passion, love that's never failing, let mercy fall on me. Underneath forgiveness, kindness of the Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, you can view the mountain. God is mighty to save, he is mighty to save. Forever mountains of ocean, he is mighty to alive, the power to live. He has been fighting all my fears and failures, fill my life again, give my life to follow. Everything I believe in, now I surrender. Savior, you can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he goes and conquers the grave. Yes, to conquer the grave. mighty to save. You are mighty to save. You are ever conquer of conquerors. You will conquer the grave. Yes, you conquer the grave.
So what else is new? Thank you for singing those songs today. I mean, our God saves, and that's what he wants to do. Every time, every day, even here this morning. Great sounds. I invite you to stand as we hear where the message comes from today. We go to the Old Testament. We go back to what is known as the Pentateuch. Do you know what that is? It doesn't mean that you heave. The Pentateuch is the first five books of the Old Testament. I'm not preaching on all five of those books. The last one is Deuteronomy. We're looking at Deuteronomy. It's one of the songs of Moses before they leave the wilderness and go into the promised land. And he is talking to the people of Israel. And it's called the Song of Moses. And I'm just going to do just a little few verses of what's in this song. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 36 through 39. The Lord will judge his people and have compassion on his servants. When he sees their strength is gone and no one is left, slave or free, he will say, now where are their gods? The rock, the small r, the rock, they took refuge in. The gods who are the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up to help you. Let them give you shelter. See now that I myself am he. There is no God besides me. I put to death and I bring to life. I have wounded and I will heal. And no one can deliver out of my hand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that bring to us warning and judgment, but also there's a lot of hope in here too. When we know that we have you as our Savior, you as our God, one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, there's always hope. There may be someone here today, Lord, that needs to hear these words today, and someone here who is just kind of either under the weather or frustrated or stressed out or discouraged. May they find the hope that you give to us in your word, because it lasts eternity. It lasts for all eternity. Moses lived over 3,000 years ago. And Jesus died 2,000 years ago. And here we are. Still people who need you in our lives. May you use this time in a powerful way today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you mentioned or I don't know if you saw it as I read it or if you read it from up on the monitor, but you can hear in the voice of Moses as he's speaking to the Israelites, they have rejected the one true God. And that's why he gives this song. He does a lot of background in leading them from what God had done for them in the beginning. God's been their rock with the capital R. Rock. Any other God has got the small r, and it's not just talking about the Gentiles or the neighbors or the enemies that they have. Moses is talking to his people, the Israelites, in this song. And there's judgment because they have left their God, the real rock, and they've gone after other smaller rocks, other gods, with their idols, the gods of their neighbors. And so Moses is bringing this out to them as he is the prophet. He is the mediator between the people and with God. And he's giving them some bad news. But there's also some good news in it. We'll get to that. It's one thing when man rejects God, but it's another thing when God rejects man. Think on that for a little bit. There are consequences when people, when you reject God in your life. You can say everything is honky-dory, Pastor, everything's going good in life, but is it really? So be honest. Is it really? Being honest is probably the hardest thing for some of you here to do. Be honest. Like, who took the pics from Charlie's thing here this morning? She can't play without her pics. Pics are gone. I didn't take them. Who's got them? She'd love to get them back. If we go to the New Testament in Luke chapter 20, verse 9 and following, there we find the sermon from last Sunday. Remember what that one was? How many remember the sermon from last Sunday? Just what I thought. Nobody. I had to think hard on that one too. I don't even remember what I preached on. But remember, it had something to do with the parable. Remember the parable? Does that ring a bell? Any lights come on flashing? Oh yeah, the parable. The parable of the owner of the vineyard who rented out his vineyard to some tenants and some other farmers and went away for a long time. And at the harvest time, he sent some servants, a servant back to get some of the fruit of what they harvested and to bring it back to him so he could enjoy what his land has produced. And remember, the servant that went back, was he received kindly? No. They beat him up, sent him back. And so the owner sent another servant, and when he got there, did they receive him nicely? Did they throw their cloaks on the ground and say, walk on this, you are such a wonderful person to come and want some of our produce that we got from the vineyard? No, they beat him up too and sent him back to the owner. The owner sent another servant, and they really beat him up. But he was alive and sent him back to the owner. And then the owner said, ah, that's too bad that they've done this. I'll send them my son, my only son. They will definitely respect him. And so he sends his only son to them. They had gotten together when they heard that he was coming. And what did they do to his son? They killed him and threw his body outside of the vineyard. And Jesus asked the question, what do you suppose the owner's going to do when he finds out that they killed his son, who he loved very much? And they said, he's going to come and kill all those guys and rent out the land probably to somebody else. And others said, may this never be. May it never happen. And then some realized that Jesus was talking about them. He had sent them prophets, had sent them other people along the way to tell them the truth. And he didn't like to hear the truth. It's interesting that anytime you see the word vineyard or vine, in Scripture, it's referring to the people of Israel. They're known as the vine, and they're the choice vine that God planted. It was a wonderful group of people. And the only way you can tell how good the vine is by the fruit that is harvested. Are the grapes that are collected and made into wine, is it going to be a bitter taste or is it going to be sweet? You will know by the fruit and how good the harvest is. We find that Moses, in his song, previous to where I read today, he tells the people that they are a vine that is no better than the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. you could hear the gasp. Like, how in the world could you think, how can we be that bad? That's what it says. Verse 32, in chapter 32. He goes on to say that the grapes of his people, they're filled with poison. And the clusters of the grapes come in clusters, that they're filled with bitterness, poison and bitterness. And he talks about the wine that comes from this vine. Verse 33, it says, the wine is as venomous as a serpent, in other words, a snake. It's deadly poison of a cobra. Now, there are other kinds of poisonous snakes that if you get bit, you can't even make it to the hospital because you'll be dead. It is that poisonous, that harmful. You get bit by this kind of a snake, like an adder, you're gone in just seconds. That's how poisonous snakes can be. And Moses is saying, because of all that God has done for us as his people, we have turned to other gods. We have turned to other idols. We have turned our back on this wonderful God who has given us and provided for us so many times and so many ways that now we are like this. How could we have become this way over time? Do you remember what Jesus said in his parable at the end? He quotes the psalmist in Psalm 118, verse 22. He says that the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone or the cornerstone. We don't really build with cornerstones much anymore. But back in the day, back in Jesus' time, a cornerstone is really what kept the building square. If you don't have a square foundation or a square building, something's going to happen to it over time. It'll collapse. That's why it's important to be square. The cornerstone is square. And Jesus even said that anyone that the stone or the capstone would be, if they had an ark, it would be the middle one up there that would keep it from collapsing. It's what held it all together. But if that one let go, it would, and it dropped and hit somebody, it would kill them. But he's talking about that if anyone does not go along with the cornerstone, it'll break them to pieces. It'll crush them. They'll die. He's talking about a judgment even there in the New Testament. So Jesus always sent his best. I should say God has always sent his best to his people. Always sends the best. And the people rejected every one of them. There's always a remnant that believed and trusted God along the way, thankfully. And maybe you're here today, you may be one of that remnant. But you're a minority compared to the population of Iowa or United States or the world. You're still a minority. So be careful who you reject in your life. You can reject God, and if you do, there's no reason to believe that any kind of fruit that you would produce in your life will be rotten. If God is really in your life, then you will desire the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There's nine of them. I believe you find them in the book of Galatians. If you can't find it, let me know. I'll find it for you. And so Moses is speaking in God's behalf, and he's saying that now God is saying to you that there only is one God. It is he who is the God? Not Moses. Moses couldn't even go into the promised land. He could only look at it from a distance on top of Mount Nebo. That's in modern-day Jordan today. It's across the Jordan River on the east side. And so there's a change of leadership. Moses is going to not go with the people into the promised land, but Joshua will. Joshua will be the next leader of Israel. And he goes into the promised land with the people. And so the song that Moses is singing, it's like, okay, now you follow these other gods, this little rock. So where is this God of yours now, small g? When you have no strength and there's no help for you, now where are your friends that will come and help you? And you'll find there aren't any, because there is no other God, even though you've been thinking there was. Where are those that you took refuge in, those that you thought you were safe and you trusted? Where are they now? Well, there never was anybody that could help you with that other than the one true God. Why do we have a prayer chain? Why do we pray for people when they want us to be, if they want them to be prayed for? Because they know that God hears prayer, and we believe that prayer is answered by God, and God helps people. Hear of people saying, well, thanks for praying. I know you're praying for us. I could feel the prayers. But he emphasizes, but there is no God other than me, which is not me, God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we find that the people of Israel, when God's been faithful to them for all these years, he's telling them that they have been faithless and have gone the other way. Their strength is gone, and everyone in Israel is in the same boat, both slave and free. At the very end of the text today, it says here that there only is one God, and it tells what this God does. This God will put to death. Means there's going to be a judgment. But he can also bring back to life. He wounds people, but he can also heal people. And he says that without me, without this God, there is no deliverance, which also means then there's no hope if you don't have him. Don't reject him. In the New Testament, in John chapter 3, the very last verse of chapter 3 in John, it says that whoever rejects Jesus Christ will not see eternal life. That's how important this is. Did God send us his one and only son, Jesus? That we understand who God is through Jesus Christ? I'd have to say, like, amen to that. Yes, absolutely. Well, where is he at in your life? If he sent you, Jesus, as the Savior of the world, then where is he in your life? Okay, it's too convicting. Let's move on here. We find in 1 Peter, New Testament again, First Peter chapter 2, verse 7, there it's talking about a capstone or a cornerstone. You can reject the cornerstone when God has given you the cornerstone, who is his son, Jesus Christ. So we find that when you hear the word or read the word vineyard or vine, it's talking about the people of Israel. A vine will produce a cluster of grapes. The grapes are the fruit of the vine. From the grapes comes out the juices to make the wine or the juice. Is it going to taste good, or is it going to taste bad, or can it even be poisonous? I'm not saying it. That's what it says here in the Word. I know nobody here would ever think that you're as bad as somebody from Sodom and Gomorrah. Guess what? You are. You're just as bad. And that's why we have Jesus. That's why I need Jesus. Don't you? I need him. And that's what Easter Sunday is all about. That will be a week from today. Jesus is back. That he can be your Savior too. Even today, you don't have to wait till next week. You can have him be your Savior today. So remember that those who reject Jesus Christ will be judged. Those who reject Jesus Christ as being the Messiah will be judged. It's not me that's going to be doing that. It's going to be God who will do that. So that's why it's important that we know we have Jesus Christ in our lives. Is he there today? Let's pray. Lord, here we are, thousands of years since this was proclaimed by your prophet Moses, kind of his last song that he gave to your people and to his own people. May they come to have realized that they have walked away from you, Lord, that they have done everything under the sun, where they've run after other gods and other idols, and knowing that this was not the right thing to do. And Lord, even though they did that way back then, we find that it's no different than today. We run after different kinds of idols and gods and just have nothing to do with you. Well, may that change today. May we have that conviction that comes upon our own hearts that says, you know, I'm not going to play that game anymore of running after other things that will never satisfy, because I need Jesus Christ, who God has sent. And the last thing I want is to crucify him. I want him to come into my life and to give to me what I need, which is forgiveness, and for me to forgive others, and that your grace will always win in the end. So, Lord, be with my friends that are here this morning, that they may see the importance of having Jesus and not rejecting him in their lives. So let's pray the prayer together that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. If we say it really fast, we can get out of here sooner. But we will not say it really fast. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Before you're seated, receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. The praise band will sing one more song, and then you'll be dismissed.
Thanks be to God. want to?
Yeah.